for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is Monday morning, December 27, 1999, with the Midwinter Family Campground meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Campground. And the speaker for the morning service is Chuck Worth from Bella Vista, Arkansas.
To those of you who weren't here when Chuck ministered the other day, this is Chuck Worth from Bella Vista, Arkansas. Got a wonderful home prayer group, and they appreciate his teaching, and so do we. Amen.
Now I am. I'm kind of in a fix this morning because Donnie told me it's finished last night. And here I wanted to bring some new revelation or something different. You know, a scribe is supposed to bring out of his treasure things new and things old. And Donnie kind of told me I can't do that. It's finished. So I got a revelation this morning. It started last night, okay? We don't need more churches. Glenn says this isn't a church.
That's right.
We need more schools. Because our people can't read. Y'all understand that? The church can't read. Now, I didn't write this. But I'm going to read it, okay? The truth is, I'm not even going to read it, but I'm going to invite one to come that's going to do the reading.
Amen.
Okay? Because Jesus said it's expedient that I go, and that when I go, I'm going to send someone else. But that's kind of a funny statement that he made. He says, I'm going to send you someone else. And then he says, further on down in there, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. He says, I will come to you. Well, I thought he was going. Okay. Well, he did. And he did. That's good. Thank you. Because, you see, now he can be with each and every one of us. And he said, when I come again, I'm going to lead you and guide you into all truth. Do you all really believe that?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Now listen, I've looked in the book, and I have a little trouble believing that. All truth? I got about that much truth. And then he did say, I'll show you things to come. Well, I was kind of, I didn't know what to teach this morning, but, well, I mean, I had so much, I just didn't know where to go. But we're going to continue on in Song of Solomon. And I spent time with him this morning, and that's just where we need to be, okay? Father, I just thank you for the privilege of standing behind a pulpit of God. Hallelujah. That, Father, where a teacher of the Word can speak truth and not have to be concerned about being thrown out the door. But, Father, where you can be elevated, where those things hard to be understood can be spoken, and, Father, where truth can come into the heart, and, Father, in your prayer to the Father up above, you said, Father, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. And, Father, the church isn't being sanctified unless they get truth. So, Father, I just ask by your Holy Spirit that you just come. Father, I have no agenda. I have no timetable. I just ask that you speak. Father, the things of man that are within me, I ask you to diminish them. That, Father, the Holy Spirit might reveal the Son today in Jesus' name. Amen. We finished with verse 6 of Song of Solomon. And that's where I want to start. Just a quick review, and then we're going to go on into verse 7. And I don't know how far we'll get. But we'll go till we quit, okay? And in verse 6 it says, "Look not upon me, for I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me." We understood that's the mark of the beast. "My mother's children were angry with me." The religious system, if you press on towards the top of the mountain, how many know it's hard to climb a mountain? Okay. How many know it's easier to go around the mountain? Let me explain something to you. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know what happens when you get yoked to Jesus, or when you get yoked to anything? It takes two to be yoked together. You understand that? And when you're yoked to Him, He's always going up the mountain. Now, if you don't go with Him, you know what happens? You're standing still. You know what happens when you stand still and He goes up the mountain? You go in a circle because you're not moving. You know what happens if you move and He doesn't? You just go in a circle the other direction. You understand that? So if you move with Him, it's easy. In Peter it says that Paul said some things that were hard to be understood, and they that wrestled with them to their own destruction. So if there's things that are hard to be understood, don't wrestle with them. I last night, Donnie talked about chewing this cud. I thought, goodness, there was so much thrown out here last night. I mean, you know, the word to sow seed means to scatter. Okay? And so, Donnie, he's up here, he's just throwing this stuff out at you, you know. I mean, oh man, it falls between the chairs and all over. And you can't get it all. Get the taste. Get the taste. Get the tapes. Get the tapes. You know, you can stop them, back them up, go forward with them. Okay, the key I want to get here with verse 6, and I need to move on, okay, is "My mother's children were angry with me. They made me keepers of the vineyard." Plural, vineyard. That's the key problem in the church today, is that man sets in the church who they want in the church. Man set me in a church as an elder. God moved me out of it. Okay. And then God set me in a home. And as long as I'm in the home, He set me there. I don't have to go anywhere. See, the problem is that in the church is that if you want to be considered popular, and if you've got income coming from the church, you got to teach what pleases the church. I'll never do that. You don't benefit anybody. You don't benefit the people, and you certainly don't benefit yourself. See, the Bible says that I'm responsible for your soul as a teacher of the Word. When I see God face to face, I'm going to be accountable for you and what I gave you. Now, what you do with what I give you, I'm not accountable for that. You are. But I'm accountable to you for what I give you. And we need some schools where the Holy Spirit can teach people, and then send them out in the churches and let God set them in the churches. But here, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, and the key here is my own vineyard I did not keep. Now I want to go on to verse 7, okay? And she's speaking again here. She says, "Tell me, O thou my, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companion?" There's so much there that you could write a book. The key word, one of the key words, is "whom my soul loveth." The soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Tommy, I think, has got four. I think it's desires or something. I don't know. I have to keep asking the people in my church, what's that other one Tommy throws in there? But it is your appetites, whatever. The soul is what you want, what you think, and what you do. Okay? Now, right here, right in this verse, she's still soulish. There's so much in the Bible about the soul, I can't go into it all. But the soul has got to be converted into agreement with the Spirit. And the only thing that will do it is the Word. And if you don't spend time in the Word, you're not being converted. Now why is it important for the soul to be converted? Until the soul is converted, Colossians says your inheritance is in light. Y'all know that? See, if I was home, I'd go to every one of these scriptures, but I'm just going to scatter seed today, okay? So your inheritance is in light. If your eye is single or clear, your whole body will be full of light. Now, you got to understand what eye that is. See, you've got to dig deep. You've got to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And you got to be a workman and you got to labor to pull this stuff out. I'm not a scholar, but I'm not lazy. Okay? I'm a workman. Ephesians says, "The eye of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling and the glory of His inheritance in you, the saint." So, the soulishness has to be in agreement with the Spirit to where the eye is clear or single. And then your body will be full of light. How many would like to have a body full of light? Isn't that what we're all working for? Well, that's what this is all about here. The soul is, there's two different words. It's nephesh in the Old Testament, it's, they say psyche. It really, in the original, it's psuche. And it has to do with psychiatry, psychology, what man thinks. Okay? Man's thinking. Okay, now they talk here about noonday, where thou makest thy flock. She's getting smart. She's wanting to know where his flock rests. Okay? His flock rests at noon. Noon is the brightest part of the day. Okay? The word in the original means a light. It means a window. When you see the word window, it has to do with spirit realm. In Noah's Ark, there was a window. It's where the dove left and returned. Okay? Has to do with spirit. It means midday. Midday, it also means to glisten. Noon means to glisten, make your face shine. And the last thing that it means is to press out oil. Now, in the vineyard, and I didn't have time to go into it yesterday, but there's a lot of things in the vineyard. But the first thing we learned yesterday was had a hedge about it, had a wall, okay? In the vineyard, there is an olive press. I could take a long time and take you in to show you where Judah was the only one in the olive press. I mean, you got to press. You got to get into the press. You got to be squeezed before oil starts to come out from you. Remember the corn, the wine, and the oil I talked about yesterday? Grind the corn. The wine, you get the understanding. And if you get in the press, then pretty soon a little oil will be. It takes an anointed word to strike the heart of man. The other word is companions. Where are the flocks of thy companions? She's talking to Jesus here. Okay. His companion. This word companion means those that are knit together. It means to join, to couple, to be united. It really means to become a joint of the body. I'm just going to read a little bit here. She is eager to do anything that he would ask, but she's questioning here the authority of one of his under-shepherds, and it's not exactly what she had in mind because she'd just come out of the church. Because they made her keepers of their vineyards, worked her to death, left her in the sun, gave her the mark of the beast. I'll tell you what, I'm not too anxious to go back in myself. But how many know there are groups where the oil is flowing? How many know you need to find one? If you don't have one, which everybody says, well, there isn't one, start one. It's good. It's a good experience. You'll sit there for 3 or 4 years with 3 or 4 people. How many know Jacob, to get his nature changed, was left alone. He didn't have 3 or 4. Go on to verse 8. His answer to her is, if thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. And there's so much here. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. How do you know that he says she is the fairest among women? I would tell you you're the fairest among the church. If you weren't, you wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? I want to look at footsteps here just a little bit. Are y'all looking for some footsteps? The word footsteps means a heel, a track, a hoof. It means a rear of a troop. Not many people want to be at the rear of the troop. I want to go to Ezekiel and just look at what this is talking about. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Turn Ezekiel 41. And I'm just going to tell you what it's talking about. Ezekiel 41 is, the whole chapter is about measuring the temple. Okay. Now, in chapter 11 of Revelation, it's about the two witnesses. There is a measuring that takes place there. How do you know you're going to be measured as the temple of God? How do you know you're being measured right now? Okay. In Ezekiel 42, verse 20, it kind of talks about what's going to be measured. Ezekiel 42, verse 20, he measured it. This is the temple of Ezekiel. He says he measured it by the four sides. It had a wall around about 500 reeds long, 500 broad. To make a separation between the sanctuary and what? The profane. Now, how do you know there's no profanity in the kingdom of God? Now, I'm not talking about swearing. I mean, even the other church members know that it's not right. The word profane in the original means common. The Bible talks about three types of salvation. There is a common salvation, a great salvation, and an eternal salvation. Okay. God is not looking for a common salvation. I mean, now listen to me. A common salvation is good. It's a starting point. Okay? But how many know He wants you to come in to see Him face to face? Okay? Then I want to go on over to 44, verse 23. Now, here's the kind of teachers we need to put in the schools we're going to build. Okay? And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane or the common. And they shall cause them to discern between the holy and the unholy. And it's not the people's fault. The people haven't been taught. Now, I want to look at this. The footsteps really speak of a path. And I want to go to Job 28, if you'll turn there with me. Job 28. Right in front of Psalms. Job 28. And there is a lot here. And I don't think I'm going to take time to read it all, although I'd like to. We're going to start with verse 7. How many know there is a path that you and I have to follow? How many know there are many paths out there in the church world? How many know the path that we're looking at is narrow? How you know it's straight? How many know there is a way that is broad, and it's called the Broadway? How many know the world's looking for Broadway? They want to be on it. How you know where it leads? Destruction. So if everybody else is doing it, you better look at it. And I'm talking about in the church. Job 28, 7. Listen, he can sweat all over my church. Man's got a good word. Verse 7, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelps have not trodden on it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. Now, I can go on and read all of this, but I'm going to jump clear down to verse 22. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and He knoweth the place thereof. He looketh through the ends of the earth, seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight of the winds, and He weigheth the waters by measure. When He made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. I'm just going to stop right there. How many know that in the Bible there's a lot about lightning? A lot about thunder, a lot about rain, a lot about storm, a lot about snow, a lot about hail. Pertains to you. Okay? Pertains to you. Everybody thinks, well, I won't read this part of the scripture. This is, you know. Almost every word in this Bible pertains to you, either good or evil. That's right. Then did he see it and declare it, he prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, that's you, okay? Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Now, folks, if we could just really get that, it would help our life a lot. Okay. Turn with me to Isaiah 35. I'm going to show you a highway. How many know these are His footsteps I'm talking about? Okay. Isaiah 35, verse 8. This chapter is talking about the restoration of Israel, the top of the mountain. How many know you got to get to the top of the mountain to be restored? The top of the mountain, Hebrews says, is the Spirit's of just men made perfect. Verse 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of what? holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast, no beast nature there shall go down up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk thereon. Let me ask you a question. Are you redeemed? Are you really redeemed? Can I use you? Okay. See, that's a little part of the problem with the church. They don't know whether they're redeemed or not. You know what the word redeemed means? Bought. You have been redeemed 2,000 years ago. You are bought with a price. Your life is not your own. I mean, we all want our own lives. Listen to verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. Here's old Bill coming in. With songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now let me tell you something about sorrow and sighing. The reason you and I ought to be in sorrow and sighing is because we're pregnant and there's a big old belly full of a new birth that's coming forth. And it's painful to give birth. But Jesus said in John 16, as soon as the man child is birthed, there'll be no more sorrow or sighing. Go to John 16. You all need to see that. Can you believe Jesus? John 16, verse 20. And if you ask most preachers what that means, they wouldn't have a clue. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now here's when. Verse 21. A woman, which is you, the church, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of a child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that what? A man child has been birthed into the earth. And see, we're here moaning and groaning about our pains and our aches and our elbows and our knees. And we don't even know we're pregnant. Are you all with me? I'm going on. Let's go on to verse 9. Yeah, in the Song of Solomon. I think I finished Isaiah. I'm going to quit anyway. How many of you never finish a book? You just never finish it. I spent 4.5 years teaching the book of Genesis, and it was like scattering seed. I go back there now and I think, man, I didn't see that. Folks, it's going to take eternity to know the Word. And I don't mean this book. I mean the Word. Now, he's going to speak to her. He's not very complimentary. He says, I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses. But look whose army she's in. In Pharaoh's chariots. Compared. The word compared there in that scripture means to resemble, to look like. Now, how many know a horse in the Bible speaks of strength? This is a company. How many know the church is always a company? It's always a cluster. It's always more than one. That there are no lone rangers in God's army. No, there's so much here. I'm just going to read this to you. Like the chariot, she is made of iron. This is not Solomon's chariot, by the way. This is Pharaoh's. Okay? She's judgmental. Are we judgmental? You know where the first thing you're supposed to judge? yourself. The Bible says, if you judge yourself, you'll not be judged. I mean, now Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. The world tells you don't judge. If you don't judge, you'll be a fool. You'll perish. Judgment is discernment. She's made for speed, very impulsive. She's armed with sighs, this chariot, cutting and sharp tongue. Okay. And she looks really good, the pride of life. Going down to verse 10. He's still speaking. And he says, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. Here in this particular instance, the chains speak of piercing. I mean, no, this is still Pharaoh's army. The word neck means to confine, to cramp, adversary, binding. Stiff-necked. Okay. Now let me describe her for you. And the only reason we do this, you understand this is chapter 1. And she hasn't gotten very far yet. Sometime when you look in the Bible, and it happens to me a lot, I think I haven't gotten very far yet. The cheek speaks of natural beauty. She is comely. It speaks to the five natural senses. She's got rows. That's the arrangement of the legalistic system she's in. Let me know the Spirit sets you free.
Amen.
Jewels are that which the carnal man, mind thinks is precious. The neck is the unyielding will of man. The chains are bondage and slavery. And the gold is the love of money that infiltrates every one of the things that we've talked about. I'll just tell you that in the Egyptian days, they wore gold chains. Now, I'm not condemning anybody. They wore neck chains. It was practiced. The cheeks can speak of those man-made methods of attracting others to the gospel. I've been there. Did it. Wear you out. I'd go home Sunday night, so tired, and I'd tell my wife, there has to be something better in the day of rest than what we're doing. Because it was easier for me to go to work than to go to church. I mean, no, it's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be a joy. Now listen, there's labor in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom needs workers. I'm not saying that. This is a good example of working. You want to work, just come down here. They'll show you what work's like. It ought to be a joy. And there ought to be a time of refreshing. How many know studying's work? I mean, I sweat over it. But I'll tell you, when I get up, and I have an advantage. I got a computer. And if I want to know what a word says in the original, I just punch a button. If I want it printed out, I just push another button. But it's still labor. But I always get up from studying refreshed. Let's go on to verse 11. I'm doing really good. We will make these borders of gold with studs of silver. Now, this is still Pharaoh. We will. Means that it's the legalistic system. She's still in the wrong system, right? Now listen to this. In this verse, the borders can also mean the beginning order of a new creation man. I mean, it has to start somewhere, right? And she's seeing the old order, and she's beginning to see the new order. Let's go on to verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Now, she's starting to smell pretty good. But notice that the king is sitting at his table, right? The word while reveals that his throne or rule, because how many know he's always at his table? You know, he won't eat off your table. Okay? You understand that? While at the table, we know that Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come in, and I will sup with him." How many know he's always at his table, and he's always knocking at your heart's door? How many know most of the time we can't hear him? Cares of the world. The soul is almost never quiet. The soul is rushing to and fro. The soul is always busy. You know why? If a soul gets quiet, you might have a chance to hear the Spirit. All that stands between them, seated at this table, is the veil of her flesh. How many know his flesh has been rent? How many know? In Hebrews, the veil was rent in the tabernacle. And it was the veil of his flesh, it says. Now, how many know the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? You got to read the whole book. But we are going to be his flesh and his bone. Right? Y'all know this? Okay. When her heart turns to his lordship, the veil is removed. Okay. How do you know it comes? It begins with the fear of the Lord. And I've had a lot of preachers preach on the fear of the Lord. And they tell me it's a reverence and it's an awe. I tell you, from what I've seen in the Bible, I'm absolutely terrified of God. Y'all understand that? Because he has a wrath like you've never seen before. And if you look this word, the fear of the Lord, it does mean awe. But it means to be frightened of and afraid of also. Terrified of. Listen, I have no desire to get out of the will of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something here. Our kids would be better off if they were terrified of the wrath of the man of the house. Okay? Well, I was. It just happened to be of my mother. And my kids were of me. Now, that doesn't mean you don't love your kids and you don't spend time with them. You don't hug them and love them. But when they do something wrong, there is discipline for doing wrong. How many know discipline is love? If you don't discipline a child, he becomes a bastard, the Bible says. That's right. You know, God disciplines those he loves. Well, couldn't the world learn a lot from us? They've got things so backwards. We need our own schools. Okay. There must be a tearing away of the old teaching she learned from her mother's children. Now, I didn't have as much problem as most people with this. And I went to church all my life, but I never listened. I'm serious. And I don't know if God was protecting me or if I was just rebellious or what. But I didn't have a lot of old stuff. You know, I had heard some things, and as my wife can tell you, as I started, when I turned 50. That's been 15 years ago. And I started reading the Bible, and almost everything, well, the first thing I learned, I had to cast demons out of my wife because she had a spirit of infirmity. I didn't have any idea about anything, and it's a long story, and I'm not going to go into it. But we did it, and we learned, and I learned the devils couldn't hurt me. And we performed deliverance, and there was a manifestation that would, I thought the whole neighborhood would hear and understand what was going on. They didn't, okay? But when I started reading the Bible, I'd come to my wife and I'd say, this is different than what we've been taught. And it was always exactly opposite, 180 degrees out of phase of what I'd been taught. Okay. Now, at his table, you will never taste death at the Lord's table. Now, listen to me. I'm saying more than you're hearing. If you turn on your TV, or if you go into a church and hear the man from the pulpit preaching death to you, it's the wrong table. Amen. And I'll tell you why. Because Paul says the law, see, there are two laws in the Bible now. One's passing away. It's really gone. We just don't know it. Right, brother? But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, listen. The law is still there. If you sin, you'll die. They say, well, we all sin. I'm talking about knowing to do good. The Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we all miss the mark. Y'all wouldn't believe it, but I even miss the mark. Now, you know why you won't taste death at his table? He tasted it for you.
Amen.
Okay? So there's no death at his table. I just got some notes here. The Shulamite will partake of much bread and strong meat. If she is to know him fully, she will taste of his sufferings. And one of the sufferings that I'm going through and have been for years is I cannot understand why, when this word is so rich and so good, any church that teaches it, most churches that teach it, runs about 30 people. See, that really bothers me. It sometimes I can just bawl over it. I see all these chairs along the wall, and there's a dying creation out here, and they don't have sense enough to come in and get life. See, that's terrible. That's terrible. Now, listen. Listen. Those people out there, you know whose responsibility they are? They're yours. They're mine. What are we going to do about it? Build schools. See, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go out there and grab one of them around the neck and put an old arm lock on them and bring them in here and set them down. That's just not his way, okay? I think it'd be good for him. Okay. Okay, let's go on to verse 13. Now, listener, Listen, she's talking about her spikenard. That's her smell. That's her odor. The king loves to smell you. Now, see, we're sitting here. We're eating him. We're drinking his from his well. He wants you to feed him. See, I can't. I teach this stuff, and I still can't understand that. Why would he want to eat of me? Because I'm him. I mean, no, he's the one with the fragrance. You know what odor we had before he came in? Death. Death. Stench of death is all over us. I don't stink anymore. I smell good. Okay. Well, now we're coming to the part that no preacher wants to touch. Verse 13, a bundle of myrrh is my well, beloved unto me. He shall all lie all night betwixt my, what? Breasts. Oh, mercy, in the Bible. Well, we're going to look at them, okay? Now, I want to start with the myrrh. Myrrh speaks of suffering. This young lady is learning. She hasn't even got the banqueting table yet. And if I don't get finished here, I'm going to do it right now. In chapter 2, verse 4, she's brought into the banqueting table. She's been into the chambers. And here in verse 2, chapter 2, she's going to be brought into the banqueting house. That speaks of Pentecost. The chambers speak of outer court, water baptism. The banqueting house speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. And the church, the charismatic Pentecostal church as a whole, thinks they're finished as far as you need to go. The Pentecostal experience, the baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. I can even speak in tongues. I'm there. We're only in chapter 2 at the beginning of it. There's 6 more chapters in Song of Solomon after that. Okay? The thing for the Pentecostal experience is to prepare you for something. And that's to go into the wilderness. Because it's the only place you're going to be quiet enough to see him. And if you stay in the banqueting house, you will become as the drunkards of Ephraim and Isaiah, I think it's 28, somewhere in there. And they are. They're just having a good time. Pretty soon the Lord's going to come. And he isn't. The word bundle points to his crucifixion. Helpless, confined, bound. But out of the bundle of death comes the bundle of life. I mean, you're to take up your cross and follow him. I just want to talk a little bit about myrrh. Myrrh is an embalming spice. I've got scriptures for all this, but we can't go there. It has a preserving quality. Myrrh will make you beautiful. I mean, no, you got to die before you have life. I'd much rather look at people alive than people that are dead. Okay? I'd much rather listen to someone that's alive than someone that's dead. And most of the dead ones I find are behind the pulpit. I'm being mean. It is an ingredient in the anointing oil. It has a healing quality. It has a perfuming quality. It's costly and it's valuable. How many know it's good to suffer? Jesus himself said, if you suffer with me, you will be glorified with me. If you don't suffer with me, he didn't say this, I'm saying, you won't be glorified with him. That's just deductive reasoning, okay? The Shulamite here reveals her bride spirit by her willingness to follow him at all costs. Now, the word lie reveals his rest and finished work. Now, what time of day is it when he's lying with her? Night in the Bible always speaks of the absence of the king. He isn't even there, and she doesn't know it. That's sad. Okay, I want to come to the breast now. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to... I'm not even going to go there. I was. Okay, it's 1 Thessalonians. There are two things in each breast of the overcomer, the church, the woman. And this is the first one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Now, I only need the first part of this verse. But let us who are of the day, not night, of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. You got to believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
That's faith. And if you really have faith in it, you'll love it. Now listen to me. The reason so many people don't love to study the Word is they don't have faith in it. I don't mean to be walking on your toes. Yeah, I do. Who said that? Yeah, I do. Is that true? Listen, you do what you love. I don't care what it is. If you love it, you do it. My biggest problem with the people in my church is golf. We got 9 or 10 golf courses, and they love it. Occasionally, they don't show up on Sunday. I wish they were here. Okay, one breast, faith and love. Now, we got to go to two scriptures to get the other two, but they go together. And the other breast has got, and I'm going to go there and show it to you, has righteous judgment. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. You judge what's right. You don't tell... Listen, if I come up to my wife and told her what is wrong with her, would that be righteous judgment? Besides that, I'd get smacked. You tell them what's right with them. See, there's no condemnation in Christ. Now, see, I have the opportunity, because I teach, to let the Holy Spirit correct the things that I don't like. And, honey, they've all been corrected. Listen, folks, I guarantee you this. Before I ever really got saved, I loved my wife with all my heart of thought. And we had a wonderful marriage. But I'm telling you, when I got saved, she changed. It's the truth. Now listen. Now, she didn't do anything. I'm starting to realize that. But everything about her changed from what I saw and heard. So where was the problem? In me. It was the old carnal man that's dead, been nailed to the cross. But I keep going to the cross and pulling the nails out and resurrecting me. Y'all understand that? Okay, well, I want to look at this, righteousness and judgment. Exodus 28:15. Exodus 28. Are you getting this? Is it okay?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is the breastplate that the high priest wore. Okay? Now, Revelation 1 says, He's made us kings and priests. You all know you're a king and a priest? You really know that? Keep your finger in Exodus, because some of you act like you don't know that. Revelation 1. Maybe if he says it, you'll hear it. Revelation 1. Hope I got my scriptures right. Yeah. Verse 6. I'm going to show it to you twice. How about two witnesses? Verse, what did I say, 6? And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He's made who? Us. Turn over to chapter 5 of Revelation. Read it again. Says the same thing. Only it tells us where we're going to do this at. Chapter 5, verse 10. And he hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall rule where? You're not going anywhere. Okay? Now listen, you are going somewhere. But your feet are not. I can't get into this. But Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Jesus explained this to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And Nicodemus didn't have a clue. The same thing was the resurrection when Jesus was talking to, was it Martha he was talking to? He was talking to Martha about Lazarus. And he says, and he explained that he is the resurrection. And he says, Martha, do you understand this? She says, yea, Lord, I understand that you art the Christ. She didn't have a clue. He has made us to be seated with Him in the heavenlies. He, in us, is bringing heaven to this earth.
Amen.
And you've got to rule this earth before you can rule the earth. Okay, we were in Exodus 28, verse 15. This is the breastplate of righteousness. But it is thou shalt make, it's called the breastplate of judgment. Okay? That's all I want there. Turn with me to Ephesians 6:14, and you all know this. There's a breastplate in Ephesians 6, and these deliverance workers just use this all the time, I know. Ephesians 6, 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, that's her breasts. But now listen to me. I want to show you this, but I don't know where it is. This maiden right now is undeveloped in her breasts. Go back to Song of Solomon, if you will, with me. And I'm going to show you way over. We have the responsibility of the residue of nations. And in chapter 8 here, and I want to go to Song of Solomon chapter 8 just to show you this. Chapter 8, I'll show you the birth of the child. Verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Where's she coming from? Are you all in the wilderness? Tommy's been in the wilderness a lot of times. I mean, we're in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Okay? It says, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. The Word. There thy mother brought thee forth. Now this terminology, you've got to have a spiritual mind to understand this thing. Thy mother brought thee forth, there she brought thee forth to bear thee. Now I'm going to tell you what that says. And you can let the Holy Spirit show you. What that's saying is, listen. I brought thee forth. And now, I'm you. You understand that? The woman is going to give birth to the child. And the woman then becomes the man-child. Now, you understand not every woman is going to bring forth. Okay? More are the children of the desolate woman. Okay? It'll help you to understand why there's not a lot of people here. How do you know? We're pregnant. I'm no longer barren. How do you know? The good woman was always the barren woman. Sarah, Rachel, they're always the barren woman. Yes. How do you know? There is going to be a birth take place. Because I've read the book. How many know he's got to perform it? And that's part of this teaching, if I can get to it, okay? Okay, I was going to go to verse 8 of chapter 8, Song of Solomon. We have a little sister. She hath no what? That's a residue of nations. And they can't nourish themselves. And where they may be trying to get nourished, there's no nourishment. Okay? Okay, I got to go right on. Let's see. This is verse 14. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Here's this cluster again. This means a cluster of grapes. A cluster of grapes. Now I want to go to the word camphor. The word camphor in the original is kofar. And the word means pitch. It means atonement. There are three arks in the Bible. This real quick, okay? Moses was placed in an ark. It was a basket. It was pitched with pitch. Noah built a boat. If the boat had not been pitched with pitch, it would have not been raised up by the water to float into a new day. You understand that? Now there is the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to tell you, you are to be and are the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? Within this covenant, there is a rod which speaks of rulership that budded. Okay? You know, this word is going to bud within you. There is the tablets were put in there. You're going to be an epistle opened on the earth, but you're an epistle of the heavenlies. That's going to be read of all men. Y'all understand that? So of the three arcs, it really speaks of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, when we build this house, we've got to be careful how we build the house. Because I'm telling you, the devil in Revelation 12, the picture of the man-child, is coming after the woman like a flood. Okay? What's going to save you from the flood? Pitch. Y'all understand that? You understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand? So you better get some pitch on your house. The Feast of Tabernacles. I'm not going to make it. The Feast of Tabernacles is a three-part feast. The blowing of the trumpets, and then there was what? What's the second part of the Feast of Tabernacles? Anybody know? The Day of Atonement. The second part is the Day of Atonement. It is a day of afflicting your soul. But the church don't want to afflict. Well, heaven's sakes. My God, the church doesn't even know they have a soul. Well, they don't. Listen, it's not the church's fault. It's your fault. It's my fault. They say, well, they don't want to hear. Tell them anyway. It's the fault, and you know, it's always easy to give it to somebody else. It's the fault of the leadership of the church. It's our fault. Every preacher here, it's his fault. But it's also your fault. My whole purpose, according to the Word of God, is to train you to where it'll be your fault. I'm to raise you up to do the work of the ministry. That's what the fivefold ministry is for, to train you to do the work of the ministry. So now, from this day forward, it's your fault. Y'all like that? Say thank you very much. Okay. Where are all those tape men, man? I don't know how much time I got. 20 minutes? Do you want me to take 20 minutes, dear? I got 5 minutes still. I know I got 5 minutes. Now listen, this cypress here in verse 14, only got three more verses to go. Finish the chapter. The cypress was used for cosmetics and dye. Its roots would counteract the bite of the serpent. Okay? Cypress, the root would counteract the bite of the serpent. I don't know. I'm in verse 14. Well, okay, I guess I better clear this up and read this to you. See, this is all, this word somewhere, it means cypress here in the original. I can't find it. Camphor, okay. Yeah, that was made from cypress. Okay, so this camphor... Sorry y'all got lost. You got to be led more by the Spirit and get into this thing here. Camphor is verse 14, right? Okay. It was made from a cypress tree. But it has to do... Listen. It's the pitch, okay, that will counteract the bite of a serpent. His atonement. He can't bite you. You can pick up snakes... And they will not hurt you. Now, don't be stupid. Like some people I see on TV. That's just dumb. I have no hope for that fella, you know? Okay. Verse 15, real quick. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. The picture beginning of the Holy Ghost in the woman. This really is the start of revelation in her life. If you want revelation in your life, it has to come through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the Word. Without Him, you'll have absolutely no understanding. Let's see. I'm going to 16. I'm hurrying, okay? Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. Our bed is green. Our. Now listen, in this Song of Solomon here, there is her bed, there is our bed, there is also his bed. Now, I'm telling you, your bed, she sought him on her bed. You know what happened? She couldn't find him. Our bed is green. It means there's life in the bed. How do you know you want his bed? His rest. Okay? probably know most of us lay in our bed and try to find you. You can't do it. Now, his bed speaks of his throne, the Ark of the Covenant, and the mercy seat. Her bed speaks of human rest, natural ability in obtaining peace and rest. And I'm telling you, folks, you can't get rest with your own ability. Okay, verse 17. I'm going to close. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are of fir. Now, this is an interesting picture. This is a picture of the house that you're building. There is a verse in here that talks about her hair. And these rafters in this house, they're not solid. It means to be like a watering trough. Everything that hits this house, it's brought right into the house. Okay. In the hair speaks of the glory of God, the glory of man, the glory of the church, really. They were like ringlets, and they were also a watering trough. Now, it's an interesting thing that the Bible says, to him that hath, shall more be given. To him that hath not, shall it be taken away, that which he hath. Okay. Y'all understand that? Okay. So, if you have something, you better be getting more, because it's there and available to you. And if you don't get more, I mean, in Christ, you don't sit still. You're either falling back or you're going forward. You're either climbing the mountain or you're going back down the mountain. And there's a lot of stuff at the foot of the mountain that you don't want to have to deal with. Not much at the top of the mountain. Not very many people up there either. As a matter of fact, as you climb this mountain, you may start at the bottom with 1,000 people. At the foot of you go, pretty soon, where'd they go? I find that in my church. If I had everybody that came in through the doors of my house, well, I'd have enough money to build the building for sure. You know what the trouble with this message is? The kingdom of God message is it makes man responsible for his salvation.
Amen.
Okay? And the Bible says work out your, means you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And man wants to come into the church and come down and I can bless them and shake their hand and say, glad to have you, and now you're saved and going to heaven, and that's all that's necessary. Give a little money now and then. Now, this word house here, our house, let me give you the definition of this house. This word in the original is baith, and it means a family, a home, a household, a temple, a palace. It means to build, to make, to repair, to set up. It also means to obtain children. Okay? If you have a house, there is supposed to be children in the house. You all should have some babes in Christ that you're working with. Are you with me? The way we get most people into our church is Gary and Donna Lean bring them or somebody else bring them. I don't go knocking on doors. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying I don't. The Shulamite, now listen to this, you are the Shulamite. You understand that in this story? The Shulamite is the house of God. It's a corporate man that is strong, stately, and stable. And the word house here in this story is plural. It means the member, many-membered body. It is also the mansions and the dwelling place of John 14. It's what you are. Okay? The cedar reveals the life principle, and the cypress, the death principle. These two trees were the wood that was used to build Solomon's temple, primarily. Okay? This verse reveals the two great principles upon which the Word of God rests, death and life. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Are you all dead yet? Okay. I'm dead, and my life is hid in Christ. Well, most of us are dead until something upsets us. And then we come to life. Okay? Okay? This verse reveals that she has chosen life, for she has chosen him who is the resurrection and the life. It is the power of this resurrection that lifts her from the death of sin, and it is that same power that quickens her and the enabling by which she shall fully come into living union with the King. Now listen to me. Salvation is a process. Paul said, I was saved, I'm being saved, and I'm yet to be saved. Amen. Now, there has to come a time in our life where we quit allowing things to be past and future. And we have to get the revelation of what the brother was preaching last night. You know, it's now. Now is the day of salvation. How will it happen to you? You all know how it'll happen to you? It'll happen when you quit making excuses. Okay? And let him who is the life come forth out from within you. I mean, there is so much life. I just taught the parable of the mustard seed at home. It's the tiniest of seeds. But within that seed is the power that will cause that tree that comes from that seed to be so big that even the fowls of the air will come and roost under the shadow of the branches. Now, there's a lot in there, and I'm not going into that. But see, within that little seed, that little word that's been planted in you, is all the power and resurrection you need to walk forth in victory from this day forth. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, you've told us in your word that he which hath begun a good work. Father, you've promised to complete it. So, Father, help us with our unbelief. Father, just help us to remove the veil of our flesh by the Holy Ghost. And, Father, to see the picture that you see of us. Because, Father, you say to those priests in the Old Testament, give them no inheritance in the land, for I am their inheritance, saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for the food that's been provided for the workers. Father, for all the workers of this campground, Lord, that there's much labor goes on here that we don't even see. And Father, I just pray that you'll bless the hands that work so hard and the food that we partake of. Father, those that remain, Father, we just pray that you'll fill them full of your word by the Spirit, where it just runs out and pours out to everybody they come in contact with. And Father, those that can't stay, just give them traveling mercies.
and bring us back again. Father, it's a sorrowful thing to leave when you become one with the body of Christ and there's so much of you floating around and you don't want to get out of the presence of Almighty God. But, Father, we take you with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.